In a world filled with movies, comedies, dramas, thrillers, and action-packed adventures, only one podcast dives deep into the magnificent titles found on HBO Max, and only one man can host such a show.
Me! Just in a word, whoa, right? Hello, everyone, and welcome to, yes, another episode of the HBO Max Movie Club. Sure, that's certainly true, but more importantly, this episode is a celebration. I'm Matt Rogers, very similarly to how I was Matt Rogers last week and will be Matt Rogers next week, God willing. And I'm really thrilled because we've arrived at a celebration, okay, of the life and career of one Keanu Charles Reeves, better known to millions and millions the world over. The man is shockingly famous, it's obscene, as Keanu Reeves, or even quite simply, you're never going to believe this, Keanu. And I want everyone to think about that for a second, okay? Madonna, Cher, Beyonce, Oprah, Keanu. The list is short when it comes to one-named icons, and it's really short for men, okay? It's different for men. I think it's Keanu and Elvis, and that's it. That's the list. A lot of people would chime in right now and say, what about Prince? And I'd say, yes, Prince, and probably a lot of other men, but we have to move on. We have to move on with the podcast. So Keanu Reeves is one of those actors that's been such a mainstay and such an iconic singular presence for so many years that he truly, I believe, gets taken for granted. I mean, he could have done half the shit that he's done in his career, and we'd still be begging to have his children, which I am basically by doing this. You know, take John Wick out of it, and you still have a stunning career. Take a man who was so upset about his dead dog that he expertly throws knives across a room, and they lodge into people's heads, and that happens over and over and over again out of revenge and retribution, and you still have The Matrix. You still have a deep well of work from the famously stoic, but yet somehow distinctly and profoundly emotional Keanu Reeves. You don't win four, count them, four MTV Movie Awards, okay? Without having that it factor, that X factor, the spark. I want you to know that when I saw Keanu had four MTV Movie Awards, I thought, I wonder who has the most MTV Movie Awards, and I could not find a list, but I did for some reason decide to Google the words Lindsay Lohan MTV Movie Awards. I do not know why. It's not something I could explain. I don't know if it means I thought she would have the most. I don't know if I associate her with my teen years and thus MTV and this winning MTV Awards nonsense, but suffice it to say she does have three. She has three, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it's certainly not Keanu's four. It never will be. I'm sorry to say it never will be. I don't think it's in Lindsay Lohan's future to win another MTV Movie Award. I would love to be wrong. Prove me wrong. So Keanu Reeves is getting the star treatment today on the HBO Max Movie Club, but I do want to reveal right now a couple things. One, I am only one man, so it would be impossible for me to watch the entire Keanu Reeves filmography. Okay, for this reason, I've chose to focus on three select films that I feel truly get at the essence of who Keanu is. And before I tell you what they are, I don't want to hear it from you nerds about how The Matrix isn't one of them. Because when I tell you that The Matrix is going to get its own episode all to itself on this podcast later in the run, I am not lying to you a lick. So please, nerds, I'm on your side. I want to talk about the fact that Carrie Ann Moss has an on-screen power we don't often speak enough about as well. And we'll get there. But today we're talking about three films that really represent the versatility of Keanu. And those films are Speed, Point Break, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I'm going to rock your world even more and say that despite being a gay man in his 30s, which makes me a person who was exposed to miscongeniality at a fundamental age and therefore unable to resist Sandra Bullock at any and all times, and she is my queen forever, I had not seen Speed. And I am a fan, a huge fan of the work of director Jan de Bont, who also did Twister, streaming on HBO Max. So this was my first time, and wow, the thrill of it all. Also, Point Break, it had been years since I watched it, but I did see the stage show, which you haven't seen the Point Break stage show, if it's ever being performed by you, you have to go. And if you're a fan of this movie, you must go. It's like Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I think a lot less queer and more surfing. Surfing, I respect it. It's just not a queer narrative. Surfing belongs to the straights. I'd say boogie boarding is more for the gays, the queers, everyone on the spectrum. We boogie board. And Bill and Ted, I was actually primarily familiar with from the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights show that happens every year, because that's who I am deep in my core. It's a real blast. I miss haunted houses. Damn. This is a lot to discuss. And in celebration of Keanu being one of the hottest men to ever grace celluloid, I did go right ahead and invite my hottest friend, the wonderful and hilarious Jill Kimbooster, to sort of talk all things Keanu, who is, you know, the man, the myth. And you already know what I'm going to say next, the legend. Okay, Keanu is, he's a box office king, a sometimes critically acclaimed actor, depending, a Diane Keaton love interest, a vigilante, a husband, a bass guitarist, a Paula Abdul music video snack, a philanthropist, honey, and of course, ultimately an action hero in a way that only so few could be. To quote Keanu Reeves, whoa. Let's sit with that for a second. As we sit with that, it's time for me to bring in a dear friend. One of my closest people in my life. And you know him, you love him. Let's get to my damn guest. This is a comedian, actor, podcaster. You gotta listen to Urgent Care with him and Mitra Johari. A writer. I'm very excited for all his upcoming projects, babe. We got a Pride and Prejudice adaptation set on Fire Island called Fire Island with an incredible cast, including little-known talent Bowen Yang. I would like to welcome at this time my dear friend and probably the friend in my life who I'm positive would do his own stunts in a film, Joel Kimbooster.
Hello. Hey, bitch.
How is it literally going? Whoa.
It is going so well. I am so excited to be here and talk. Here's the thing about Keanu Reeves that I want to jump. I had a lot of thoughts about what you were saying in your preamble.
Right.
And I did a quick check. It is shocking to me that he never even attempted to do a sort of prestige crossover. He is staunchly, like, he is MTV Music Awards. There's a lot of Blockbuster Movie Awards. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of People's Choice Movie Awards. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a movie star, and that is all he cares about being. He's a movie star of the people.
He's popcorn.
He's never... Yeah. He's not at Cannes.
No. If we saw him at Cannes, we'd be like, Keanu, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, I also think there was a feature in the film Much Ado About Nothing. But, you know, his Don performance John, was not praised. He was not praised in the film. You know what I mean?
A Razzie-nominated performance.
But isn't that part of it? You know what I mean? When you talk about Keanu, isn't that part of it?
It absolutely is, because nobody is giving what Keanu gives.
No.
And the fact is that it's not always right for the moment.
Mm-mm.
But nobody else is giving it.
You know, it's not always right, but it always feels good and comfortable. And it feels like a place we could return to. And while Keanu has the distinct vibe, and I want to talk to you about this, he has his Keanu thing, but he gives you different shades. And I just wanted to ask you, like, because we watched Point Break, Speed, and Bill and Ted. And I want to know from you, in terms of Keanu's hair aesthetic, do we sort of like questionable shag? Or questionable crop. You know what I mean? Like, how are we, like, most aroused?
I think that the iconic hair is the shag. I think it's the long. I think it's a little greasy. I think it is a nod to his, you know, quarter. You know, it gives him a vibe, a sort of mystique of, like, is he white?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
And the answer is mostly.
Mostly, yeah.
He's mostly
I
white.
I think, like... We really, there was a moment in time, and I want to say like 2016, where our community, the Asian community, was really trying to claim him in a big way. And I believe he's like 136. And listen, one drop, babe. One drop. That's all it takes.
You remember Dua's famous song about how he's culturally Chinese,
yes.
Keanu.
Exactly.
You know what's funny? I told you this, I think. But when I did RuPaul's podcast... and he was like, he wanted to know who all my friends were. I was on what's the tea? That's what it's called with Rue. And I mentioned you and he said, Joel Kimbooster. Now, if I was to see Joel, if someone was to play him in a movie, who would it be? And I was like, well, this is how you know there's not enough representation because there's just not enough representation. And so I did say Keanu Reeves because I feel you're the same kind of, because I can see you doing your own stunts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I would, depending on the stunts. I mean, there are some insane stunts. I will say Keanu did not do his own stunts in Point Break. Patrick Swayze did his own stunts in Point Break.
What a king.
So in Point Break, the skydiving scene, which is insane. And I really went in a real rabbit hole afterwards. Because I was like, Catherine Bigelow, how?
How did
Catherine
you...
Catherine Bigelow,
literally.
How?
I'm like, just give her an Oscar. And they did later.
Like, I was really impressed. And yes, the whole time, like when I was like watching this movie, I was like, Catherine Bigelow.
Yes.
Woman director. I was like, this is brilliant. Woman director.
Yeah.
Yes, she's doing it. She's playing with the boys.
She's here.
She's here. She is doing it. And the whole time I was like crying. Like I was conjuring like all of these scenarios, like her on set. And I was like, God, it must have been so hard for her. It must have been so hard for her the whole time. And I was like weeping, watching Point Break, just imagining what she had to overcome to make Point Break. But the skydiving scene, it was a mix of actual skydiving footage of Patrick Swayze and stunt doubles skydiving.
Yeah, and Keanu in what, like one of those like fake things?
Yeah. And then wind tunnels and like close-ups on like simulated skydiving stuff. And
yes.
Then, but the thing is like Patrick Swayze was so into skydiving. There's the first shot of the skydiving scene is a 10-second long unbroken shot.
Yeah.
Where you see Patrick Swayze jump out of the plane. And that is really Patrick Swayze jumping out of a fucking plane. He got so into skydiving that they had to ask him to stop because it was an insurance liability. Like he learned to do it for this movie and then was like recreationally skydiving all over the place.
So here's a true fact about me. Have you been skydiving? Because I have.
I won't. I refuse.
Okay, do not go. Because I went when I was 18 years old, very closeted. All my friends were like, we're all going to go skydiving to celebrate graduating. And I was like, yeah, me too. Panicked, horrified the whole time. Don't even like flying. Meanwhile, there I am going to jump out of a plane. This movie glamorized skydiving in a way that's crazy. And they had to stop him because people do get addicted to it. Because I was there and you have to tandem jump the first time you go. And so that means someone's on your back. And these guys, they skydive 18 nights. It was very sexual, which I couldn't handle at the time. And these guys go 18, 19 times a day. And here's what you don't know. You can't just skydive in the way that Patrick Swayze did. You have to tandem jump a certain amount of times. I don't know what it was like back then. But the fact that Patrick Swayze was so comfortable doing this on camera for what you have to assume they had to do this more than once to get it on camera. This man was a legendary psycho because that is so, too much skydiving for me.
Exactly. It couldn't be me. It couldn't be me. No.
Just please. Not safe enough.
I'm not going out that way.
But here's what I'd say. I don't think that you would skydive for a film. So I think that Keanu might have thought, oh, Patrick Swayze is giving something that is aspirational that I look up to. Because then when Speed rolls around, do you remember the scene in Speed where he jumps from the car he's driving in to get onto the bus and he jumps? He did that. That was him.
Whoa.
Yes. Which, honestly, the way his legs hit the thing, I'm like, it was cuckoo bananas to see. So I guess maybe he saw Swayze like crushing it, skydiving fearless, like doing flips, being like not for nothing, but also looking hot and like Patrick Swayze while he's doing it. And Keanu said, I have to sort of up my game for this Speed film. And he truly did. And cut off the hair to be more aerodynamic.
You know, it's interesting. I almost like feel like Point Break was a little bit of a passing of the torch almost because like Patrick Swayze, like Keanu Reeves sort of started doing a lot of roles that I feel like Patrick Swayze would have done. Like,
yeah.
This is sort of like in the pocket of like action stunt, like man, boy movies.
Mm-hmm. They're vibe kings sort of. Too. Like Patrick Swayze has his vibe the way that Keanu has his vibe. Here's what I want to know. Do you think that Bodhi and Johnny Utah want to fuck each other throughout this film? And I'm happy you're really thinking about it because it's a lot to think about. There's a lot of home. And I just want to say there's a lot of homoeroticism in here that I think only a female director could capture. And you know, a female director was doing this movie from the first shot when Keanu turns around in that tight, like navy tank top and he's wet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, thank God, Catherine. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that it was a one-sided thing. I think Bodhi wanted to fuck Johnny.
I don't think
Johnny wanted to fuck Bodhi.
You think he was really?
I think he was
good with Lori Petty.
I think he was oblivious to it.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's why Bodhi was like, went after Lori Petty immediately. You know?
Yeah, he wanted to take
her out.
There
were other options for him. But let us take a moment.
Let us take a moment. I knew you'd do that, and I know what you're going to say, and I thank you.
Celebrate fucking Lori Petty. What did we do to her?
I mean, she screams off the screen. Like, it's sort of the same. It's funny, too, because that role would not really pop unless you had someone that was so memorable, because you're sort of bouncing between the two iconic vibes, to return to the word bravely, of Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. So you gotta, in order to make Tyler really pop, because she is like the girl in the movie, but she's a little scrappy, but she's popping in it. Popping.
Yeah. Lori Petty is eternally sort of like giving you anybody's energy from West Side Story.
Gay men are on this podcast, everyone. Listen, and is that so? Just to, that's actually too much. But I do want to ask you, just because we are gay. So I was watching Point Break, I was watching Speed, and I couldn't help but notice Keanu's ass. So this man has an incredible ass. Do you think this is the best ass in showbiz?
Wow!
Take your own ass out of it.
Wow! No, I think we've got some competition. We've got the Maloneys, we've got the Chris Evanses,
we've got a lot of
good asses out there. But this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say about Keanu.
Yeah.
I think Keanu, all natural ass. I think the Evanses and a lot of the Chrises that we're seeing these days, these girls are on steroids.
Yeah.
These girls are getting help.
Say it on the pod. So this is what I'll say. Keanu has like a blue collar ass. You know what I mean? Like when he's running in the streets, like I'm like, that is an ass that was made running through the streets of LA, chasing people and saying, stop, stop. I'm LAPD, which, you know, I didn't love hearing throughout the film. It's, you know, LAPD, you mean something different. But I definitely thought, this is a man who has worked for this ass on the streets. You know what I mean? And the pants were exactly right. He's wearing those like long khaki, like those pants. I'm just like, this was, Mark Wahlberg is up there too. Not that I like to give him any credit.
Mark Wahlberg walking the streets of the U.S. because his gay son committed suicide. Absolutely not. I'm taking a stand on this podcast. Absolutely. Absolutely not.
I want everyone to sort of go Google that. So if you don't know what Joel and I were just referencing, part of this experience of listening to the podcast is I'm trying to expose the audience to sort of gay shit. Because this isn't like Las Culturistas, Joel, where I can inherently assume they're all gay. These people are movie fans. And so if you don't know the reference to absolutely not, you need to look that up. And that's just going to be an important part of listening to this podcast. Joel, I would like to know from you, as a Sandra Bullock superfan, because you are.
I mean, she's my number one.
She's your number one, and she's very close to the top for me. I'm, of course, a sort of a Reese girl and a Julia person.
And that actually tracks.
Yeah,
that really tracks. When you look at us in a lineup, I think people would actually intuit that. Just from looking at us.
Okay, my question is, how do you feel in a Speed-like scenario if you put yourself in the shoes of Annie, who's the character played by Sandra? Are you grabbing the wheel? Are you wanting someone else to grab the wheel? How confident are you in a Speed-like scenario where you have to drive a bus in LA over 50 miles per hour or you explode?
I think I would do it. I think I like one of my favorite lines that actually, like, I don't know why this stuck in my head from Speed, but like when Sandra Bullock is like, I've driven a Pinto before.
Yeah. She's so good.
It is so funny. She is like, it is such a star turn for her. Like,
yeah.
It is, you know, immediately that this woman is going to be a star in this movie. And it feels like actually, for a while, it does sort of feel like Sandra Bullock is sort of the female equivalent of a Keanu Reeves at that time.
Vibes.
Because she's giving, you know, she was a very vibe heavy actress. And then it was sort of a two roads diverged in Yellowwood. And she said, no, I'm going to do Prestige. I'm going to throw on a wig and I'm going to win an Oscar.
100%.
And Keanu said, I won't, you know?
Now, do you think, and notice how two gay men sort of turn this Keanu Reeves podcast into a Sandra Bullock podcast and sort of just understand that's what we're dealing with here. She's one of the greats. Here's a question I have for you. Marry, fuck, kill. Keanu in Point Break. Keanu in Speed. And Keanu in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And we're going to use this as a jumping off point to talk about B&T.
Okay.
But marry, fuck, kill those three.
Well, it's tough because there's two cops.
But
I'm going to say fuck Keanu in Speed. Okay. I'll tell you why. Marry Keanu in Point Break.
Mm-hmm.
And kill Keanu in Bill and Ted. And that's a tough decision for me. That's a really tough decision for me. But here's why I say fuck Speed.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. In Speed,
mm-hmm.
we find out in Speed 2 that his mm-hmm. PTSD and trauma from Speed 1 made a relationship with him untenable.
Right.
So when she goes on a cruise ship with Jason Patrick that is going wildly out of control, too fast. For a cruise.
Cruise control? Mama, where? Speed 2 cruise control? I don't see this cruise being controlled at all.
We find out that he was just too much. Too much just, after the bus incident.
Yeah, she's so, like, I had to walk away.
Get in and get out with that guy, because unless you want to deal with bus trauma. So that's why I say only fuck him.
Yeah, sure.
And then marry Point Break, Keanu. Actually.
No, you're not going to kill him. Not looking like that. You gotta kill.
He is at his hottest. He is at his hottest in Point Break. We can 100%. Say that. We can say that.
Well, no. I would disagree because I see. Sort of revisiting the topic from the top of the episode about the chop. I think I respond with horniness when I see Keanu with that short hair. To me, it's just like, and I would say I would fuck him in Point Break, marry him in Speed because he could take care of you. And he's so capable. Like, I would never, any sort of high stakes situation, I feel I would survive if he were my husband. You know, and life is really about survival. So that's why I say that. And then you gotta kill him in Bill and Ted because he's really kind of dumb, you know? He's kind of dumb. But I will say, what did you think the sex would be like at the end of Speed? It might be worth marrying him just to sort of get a lot of sex out of that situation they've been through together and then divorce him later.
I think it's like that first time is going to be incredible and everything from there is downhill. I think you only are on a bus that's going too fast that might explode once.
Right.
And the sex and then you're always going to be chasing that high afterwards.
You really are.
And we found that it was untenable. It is canon. It is canon in the Speed universe. That
you're right.
A relationship with him was untenable. And if you can't make it work with Annie, come on, who are you going to make it work with? Because she is low maintenance the whole way.
She so capable. I mean, like, he really met his match. And Annie, mm-hmm. Keanu really met his match when he met Sandra in Speed.
I want Speed 3 now, where she goes on a bullet train that is just out of control. And she just goes, she can't catch a break. She can't travel at all.
No, that's her whole thing. I think if I were her, I'm staying home from now on. I think I've seen enough. You can't get on anything. You can't get on anything. She thought, surely a boat can only go so fast. a big boat can only move so fast. You know, that was one of the most expensive stunts of all time. Maybe even the most expensive stunt of all time at the end of Speed 2 Cruise Control when the ship crashes into the island of St. Martin.
Surely it's been beaten by now. Surely.
I'm sure. Oh my God. One of these Transformers has absolutely stomped it. I'm sure.
Or like the Fast and Furious. That's what I will say about Point Break 2 is Point Break felt very much like the predecessor of the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
Like it's Fast and Furious with surfing. Like Bodhi's whole like it's family like sort of like that vibe is giving very Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious, and like they could have made it a franchise where eventually they're like surfing on top of flames
mm-hmm.
across bridges, you know, like they really could have escalated the surfing in it.
I think that ultimately, you know, the surfing, spoiler alert, does kill Bodhi. I mean, but like, you know, you get the sense that the waves could have been bigger. You know what I mean? Maybe a few more years, we get some CGI in there. We get some big... No, that's a kind of movie that's ruined by CGI. And Speed as well, I think. What I love was practical effects. Those explosions are real. When that airplane explodes in Speed, baby, I was sitting here agog. I was like, this is a big explosion. And you know what I loved was the very real reactions of the cast to the explosion. You know? You don't get...
That's not acting, honey.
That's not acting. That they were really, as we say, absolutely flabbergasted by the
Meisner
volume.
They blew up a fucking plane.
Well, they started doing that at Tisch. They put the kids in front of explosions. And they say, now remember this. One question for you before I get into a little segment I have. What is your favorite Keanu movie that is barely a Keanu movie? I know mine. Mine is It's Complicated, where he sort of comes in and you forget. But he shows you, even in his, I guess, late 40s at the time, that he's still got it. And he sweeps Diane off her feet. We've always got Always Be My Maybe. He plays himself.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Bram Stoker's Dracula, where he iconically pronounces Europe like Europe.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is we brought it up, but like this was a big movie for me growing up. And it's my favorite Shakespeare play. It's Much Ado About Nothing. Like, I love that movie. There were so many butts in that movie that I would rewind and freeze. Emma Thompson, Kenneth Branagh. It is so good. It is such a great adaptation of that play. And like, yes, he's bad in it. Yes.
Okay.
But it sort of works.
But. How about, do you see Keanu's butt in that? Any hiney shots, as Rosie O'Donnell would say?
No, but he is wearing some very, 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 very tight leather pants.
You know, he's relatively modest for an actor in the 90s that was that hot. You know what I mean? You really don't see a lot of Keanu. I remember, like, I was watching, oh, this is another classic. Everyone remembers where they were. Hardball. Remember the movie Hardball?
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's got, like, a shirtless scene in Hardball. And I was like, okay, I feel like we don't really see this. But, I mean, Hardball, talk about trauma. We all remember where we were when G-Baby did not make it.
Yeah, I remember exactly where
I remember I was in my cousin's basement. We were watching Hardball and G-Baby didn't make it. And I'll never forget my cousin's basement. It's also where I first watched porn.
That
anyway,
where I was probably in a finished basement too when I saw that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that's again, and to return to the word vibes, watching Hardball is finished basement vibes. Joel, I have a weekly segment that I do, which is called, But How Is It a Queer Narrative? Now, I've decided to focus on the film Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure this week. And so please play my techno beat as I explain how Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a queer narrative. Crop tops. Two men together. Traveling with your man all around the world. Standing Joan of Arc. Excellence. Okay, and that is how Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a queer narrative. Joel, do you have anything to add on how Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a queer narrative, specifically? How it represents our community?
Yeah, not working. being unemployed.
Yes.
Having a lot of time.
Daddy issues, again.
Yeah, daddy issues. Traveling through time.
Traveling through time. I mean, just like one girlfriend, Joan of Arc. One girl in a sea of men. Wow. I mean, that was my segment, But How Is It a Queer Narrative? And now we're going to move into a game, Jolie, that we are calling Name That Keanu. All right. So producer Camila is going to play some sounds of Keanu, sort of, you know, returning to our Speed conversation. There wasn't just sound in the movie Speed. There's been sounds all over the world. Current events are happening as we speak. And these are going to be some select Keanu clips, and we have to name the Keanu that it is. I do know the answer, so this is really more of a game for you. So here is the first clip. It is your job, Joel Kim Booster, to identify that Keanu. And away we go.
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
So he's a lawyer in this one.
Interesting.
And I'm just going to go with the most obvious one, Keanu being a lawyer, which is the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocate is correct.
Yes!
Yes, and fun fact, Keanu's character, Kevin Lomax, is from Gainesville, Florida. All right, so here is the second clip. This one might be a little bit more fresh in your mind.
Bodhi, this is your fucking wake-up call, man. I am an FBI agent.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's Point Break.
This is Point Break. This is Point Break, also known as that was the backup for this week's But How Is It a Queer Narrative? Julie, you're absolutely slaying this. Here's the next Keanu clip.
What I've learned from you is that really one of the most important things in life is showing up. I'm blown away by your ability to show up through everything that's gone on.
Well, you just mentioned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it Hardball?
It's Hardball. It's Hardball.
Yeah.
The time that Keanu played a white savior, aka the film that G-Baby tragically did not make it through. All right, we have one more. And if you get this, I'm going to say you win. Okay?
Okay,
and
great.
If you don't get this, I'm going to say you lose. And that's okay. And we've seen sort of how people can triumph over adversity many times in the films of Keanu.
The stakes are low. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say. So let's play this last one.
I surrender all attempts to control life. Yours or mine. I live for one thing. To love you. To make you happy. To live firmly and joyously in the moment. November is all I know. And all I ever want to know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, they really gave away the game at the end there. It's Sweet November.
Kind of. It is Sweet November, confirmed. Confirmed. You know, it's sort of Keanu doing romance with the aforementioned in this episode, Charlize Theron. Well, Jolie, you won Name That Keanu. Congratulations, you're the first and only winner of Name That Keanu. How does it feel?
You know what? I'm going to be thinking about this day for a long time to come.
Oh, shucks. Well, I'll be thinking of it too, because I've actually had a truly fun time. And I want to thank you for doing the work of watching these films and joining me on this, the HBO Max Movie Club. And can you tell people where they could sort of find you if they wanted to see you, which they do?
You can find me on socials at I Hate Joel Kim on all social media platforms. You can listen to my podcast at Urgent Care Pod. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it. That's basically it. I'm around.
He's around.
You'll see me.
Do it all. I actually have a new Housewives tagline. Do you want to hear it? You can't have it.
I would love it.
From the coast to the coast, I'll be doing the most.
That's one of your best ones yet.
I know. Anyway, on that high note, I want to say thank you all so much, everybody, for listening to this episode. And we're going to see you next week. Bye. HBO Max Movie Club is a production of HBO Max and iHeartRadio, hosted by me, Matt Rogers. It's executive produced by Ethan Fixell, produced by Camila Salazar, written and researched by Steve Griffin, and engineered, edited, and mixed by Matt Stillo. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed HBO Max Movie Club, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, HBO Max, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might get your podcasts. Thanks for checking out the HBO Max Movie Club. Most of the movies we talked about today are actually available on HBO Max. Check the show notes for the full list. And don't forget to watch all your favorite movies on HBO Max. Okay, bye!